people would go to Google or they would go online and they say, how do I solve this? Right now, mm-hmm. they know they can type that in anywhere from Google to YouTube to even TikTok search, right? But now the question mm-hmm. they're asking is, who can I trust to give me the information that I need to solve the problem?
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, the show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is Logan Lyles. He serves as an evangelism and content marketing person, individual expert at teamwork.com, a project management platform built for scaling client work. Previously, he served in several leadership roles at Sweetfish, a B2B podcast agency serving mid-market SaaS companies. Taking over the sales from the agency founder in 2018, Logan helped triple, that's three, the business in the first 6 months. He also played a key role in landing the agency on the Inc. 5000 list twice with a two, while helping the company both 10x headcount and increase ARR by 1,283%. Logan works from his home office, which if you're watching this, you can tell is just awesome. There's probably books in the back he's actually read. And it's slowly becoming a mini video studio alongside his Labradoodle Mac in Castle Rock, Colorado. Welcome to the show, Logan.
Thank you so much, man. We got the Mac mention in there, the office studio, and lots of numbers. All the numbers. Yes. Fantastic
all
intro,
the numbers.
My
friend. Yeah, I'm really trying to capture as wide an audience as possible. So, you know, if we got some accountants and engineers, but also maybe some animal lovers, you never know who's listening. It's early days. So, well, Logan, tell me, what is on your mind?
Yeah, I have been really thinking about the evolution of marketing. As you mentioned in the intro, even before I joined Sweetfish, the podcast production agency you mentioned, my career started in kind of this meandering path from journalism into B2B sales, and then really getting into B2B marketing and content creation, starting with working for the podcast agency. Now, as you mentioned, I'm in the marketing team for a SaaS company. And so thinking a lot about what is the next phase of marketing look like. And because of my journalism roots, I was always the sales guy who loved marketing, who really loved content marketing. And I think HubSpot did a great job of evangelizing both content marketing and the movement towards inbound that they really have pushed forward over the last 10 or so years. And to me, I'm really thinking about how that is now evolving, right? When HubSpot started talking about the shift that they saw at that point in marketing, we were going from outbound, which they equated to having a megaphone and kind of blasting your message out there. We even used to call them email blasts, right? versus a newsletter today, which, you know, some newsletters are good, some more are still should be called email blasts because that's what they feel like. And they were saying, you need to put down the megaphone. Outbound isn't working anymore. Inbound is the new way. And the visualization that they gave was pick up a magnet and attract your ideal audience by putting out content that either educates and or entertains. Well, that still works. I'm a big believer in that. That's why I love guesting on podcasts like this. I host two podcasts myself, one of which you've been on. But I think what is shifting now is it's harder and harder for that magnet to really work because the people that we're trying to reach, whoever that audience is, if they own construction companies, if they run an agency, if they're doctors, if they're B2B marketers, whoever it is, they're surrounded by magnets. And that's your competition. That's that new Netflix series they want to watch. It's everything competing for their attention. And so I think that we do need to evolve, whether you're a small business or you're a large organization, content still can drive your marketing, but going it alone is becoming harder and harder. And that's where I've been exploring this concept of nearbound marketing. What does that mean? What does that look like? And how can you actually leverage a newer approach called nearbound in the marketing efforts that you're executing, whether that's for your own small business or you're part of a marketing and sales team within a larger organization?
Yeah. Wow, lot to unpack there. And, you know, obviously I've mentioned a couple times on the podcast, just my background in the agency world and being mm-hmm. a HubSpot partner. Yeah. I remember all the magnet stuff. I had it on my website. I was like, you want to be the magnet, not the bullhorn. Thank you, Font Awesome, for making really compelling, icons. But and then obviously they go through the, you know, there were the four stages before they went all flywheel
on us. From the funnel to the flywheel. Yeah.
Yeah. And truth be told, I still hear people say the word email blast, and it makes my skin sizzle. But I'm thinking about what you're saying, and I'm wondering, does this, you said it should apply to large organizations and then, you know, solopreneurs or small shops. But I mean, is the need the same, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and is really anything any different? I mean, Gary Vee's been beating the drum about the attention economy for, mm-hmm. you know, 10 plus years now. I mean, really, what is different besides the fact that maybe more people are hiring more agencies like a Sweetfish or something else, mm-hmm. Just to level up their quality? So it's worth listening to. Is it, there's no more new stuff. It's just more quality stuff out there. You know, why change, I guess, is my question.
Yeah. So I think you hit on one thing there, like, as far as content marketing goes, the bar is raising, right? Because the barrier to entry is lower, right? It used to mm-hmm. be, even just 3-4 years ago, to create short form video content, you need a videographer, you need an editor with some serious chops. Now there are AI tools where we could grab these two tracks from the mm-hmm. podcast we're recording right now, drop them into a tool, and it can spit out pretty decent auto-captioned video clips that are ideal for social, right? Now, mm-hmm. varying degrees of quality there at the same time. Yeah. But that, I think, adds to the noise. But I think the other thing that has changed is not just that, okay, it's noisier, and so you need to raise the quality bar in order to stand out and get more attention. There's mm-hmm. also this other shift, because there's so much noise and because there are contradicting messages, whether we're talking about marketing or politics or anything else, right? We can scroll very quickly and hear two things that are in direct conflict. And we're like, well, which message do I trust? And so what mm-hmm. I've been noticing is, we're making this shift, or this shift is happening, from what we and a few others have been calling the how economy to the who economy. And what I mean by that is, it used to be, you know, people would go to Google or they would go online and they say, how do I solve this? Right? Now mm-hmm. they know they can type that in anywhere, from Google to YouTube to even TikTok search, right? But now mm-hmm. the question they're asking is, who can I trust to give me the information that I need to solve the problem? Because finding an answer is no longer the problem. We're in the middle of the infopocalypse, right? There's information everywhere. It's noisier. We're surrounded by all these magnets.
Right.
But the question people are asking is, who can I trust? And then that's the filter that's going to be there. So the quality is one, but I think the trust factor is even bigger. And that's where I think the approach of nearbound marketing can help people adjust to this shift that is happening. Because if outbound was interrupting and inbound mm-hmm. was attracting, nearbound marketing is all about surrounding. So what I've been talking about on the podcast that I host, formerly Marketing Together, now we're renaming it to Nearbound Marketing, is mm-hmm. how can you co-create content with the people that your buyers already know and trust, so that you can amplify your message together and surround them, not just to be louder and noisier, but to create a message that has trust baked right into it.
Gotcha. Because like guest, being a guest on a podcast or something like that, you get to cross-pollinate audiences mm-hmm. and you borrow on the initial trust that the that person's audience has and get exposure. So it sounds like that there's not really an issue. You said there's not an issue in getting the answer, but there is so much of it that we're now maybe, I don't like the phrase now more than ever. I think we use that enough in COVID to last us the rest of the millennium.
Can we squeeze in a new normal in here as well?
Yes. Yeah. I would love it.
More than ever, there is a new normal and some other buzzword phrase we've used together for the last 3 years.
A quick aside, HubSpot inbound in 2020 that got canceled became purely a video. It's kind of like Apple has gone to, their big product announcement. Right. So just scripted and post-produced, which is great, but they had a now more than ever. And I tweeted, I was like, if it was a drinking game to take a drink every time Brian Halligan said now more than ever, we'd all be drunk out of our minds. He liked it, and I'm pretty sure retweeted it, but he liked it. And I was like, I wonder if he like looked up, is this guy actually a partner or something? But that was like a weird moment in the sun.
I love that.
But I appreciate that he had a sense of humor about it. Mm-hmm. So how is that shifting? Is it just a greater emphasis because we having referrals like Facebook several years back put in the looking for a recommendation function into it was a post type. I don't see it quite as much anymore. People just put like ISO, like in search of or something like that. But we're trying to play on the fact that people are looking for human referrals, like within my network, who could give me advice simply because is there that much just bad misinformation out there? Or is it more about sorting through the good information to find the great information? What's at the heart of that, do you think?
Yeah. I think that without going into a whole tangent, and I'm not going to come down on one side of misinformation, disinformation debates. What is the difference between misinformation and disinformation, by the way? Never mind. We'll set that aside for now. But I think that there is some of that. People are concerned, like, am I getting, fed a load of bull here with what I'm getting? But it's also just, I only have so much time. There are so many places I could get this answer. I don't know if I can trust any of them. So one, for the sake of time, and two, for the sake of not making a bad decision, especially, in the world that I live in B2B sales and marketing, where you're talking about higher consideration, higher ticket value. If you're an agency selling services and it's a $5,000-$10,000 a month retainer, there's more that goes into that. There's more that's on the line. And so people want to know if they're getting a recommendation. Can I trust it? Because it's not just an Amazon purchase that you can just set back out on the porch and have UPS come pick up, right? Your job might be on the line. Your career might take a different turn if you buy the wrong product for your company or you hire the wrong agency. So in B2B, I think that emotional toil over, am I getting good information and what are going to be the ramifications of that? I think that's what's also playing into it.
That's really intriguing. So do you think that maybe it's just starting here, but do you think that the price tag or maybe the risk perceived level of risk is where this gets applied and actually matters is going in a near bound method or approach to your marketing and sales? Because otherwise, if, like you said, if it's the equivalent of, maybe it's even a few hundred dollars that you're like, I'm disappointed. Maybe you get a partial refund, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
That campaign didn't work out. You spent some dollars on paid ads. No big whoop. But when, like you said, $5,000 to $10,000 a month or a six-figure contract or something like that, is that where this actually matters? And does it even matter at the lower stakes level?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think you are exactly right there, Kenny. The higher the amount of the purchase, the longer term the investment, the higher consideration that's needed in that sales process, then as you climb up there, it's a direct correlation into to the importance of trust in that transaction, right? At the same time, I've seen, you know, folks talking rightly so about the impact of influencer marketing, which I think is a subset of what we're talking about in Nearbound, mm-hmm. right? Because those are people that may be different than a referral or an agency or service provider or mm-hmm. a company that's already doing business with someone that you're partnering with. An influencer does have a degree of trust, and that works very well sure. in kind of that direct to consumer realm as well. But mm-hmm. I think to your point, it's kind of a sliding scale. As you move up to higher ticket purchases, mm-hmm. higher consideration sales cycles, then the trust factor, the more you move up there, the more you better not be ignoring that factor. Otherwise, you're going to lose right. out to the folks who do have the connections and are leveraging the relationships to establish trust. I'll give you an example here. So I mm-hmm. just came back from Inbound in person this year. It was my second time making that trip to Boston. And mm-hmm. as you mentioned at the top, my current role is on the marketing team at teamwork.com. We're a client operations and project management platform primarily for agencies. So being an Inbound and all the solution partners being there, like that's our ICP, right? Mm-hmm. And so we've got a booth. We want people to come up, learn about the platform, get a demo. And what we did is we have a few consultants who are our solution providers. So very much like HubSpot has agency partners who mm-hmm. sell the product, service the product, offer complimentary services. We have the same at teamwork.com. And so I knew that some of our partners would be there mm-hmm. that have been agency owners themselves. Actually, in both cases, they're kind of similar to you, yeah. Ken, where they've run an agency and now they consult with a lot of agencies. So they have yeah. a lot of trust built up in that community.
Yeah.
One of our partners by the name of Zenpilot, and they've worked with a lot of agencies to kind of mm-hmm. audit their operations, those sorts of things. Well, instead of just saying, hey, you guys are going to be there, you should stop by the booth, come and talk to people, we decided to do a little bit of a push. I created some graphics for them. Shout out to our graphic design team at Teamwork. And we called it a partner takeover time. And we said, hey, the Zenpilot folks really know agencies. They've consulted with over 2,600 agencies. They're going to be at our booth. So if you want to talk to someone besides a salesperson, come chat with them. And I kid you not, I had an agency owner. He said, I'm currently running our agency on X competitor. I won't mention them right now. And he said, you know, we've been happy, but based on what I hear from you and Gray and his team at Zenpilot mm-hmm. doing stuff together, partnering here, having yeah. this dedicated takeover time, I should look into teamwork.com. I'm not even looking to switch right now. And so the difference wow. for me was we could start having the conversation about discovering his needs, giving a demo and seeing if there's a good fit. We didn't have to spend the time of, hey, will you stop by the booth? Hey, will you give us the time of day? Because that trust had yeah. already been established, he was willing to give us the time of day, hear us out, and now we could get right to the discovery demo and the rest of the conversation without that first hurdle because that bridge had already been crossed.
That's really interesting. Congratulations, by the way. I did see some of the videos. Y'all, if you're listening, you can go back and check around the first week of September. There's some cool videos, especially with like Gray and Peter giving some productivity mm-hmm. tips.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
So, and just a heads up, Peter's got a fantastic Irish accent. So that's the one, that's half yes. the reason I like going to Teamwork's YouTube channel is just yes. listening to them talk about bland things, but it sounds magical. Because of the accent, I was like, yes, you know what? I could rearrange my folder hierarchy. Yeah, that's really good. but anyway, so that's really intriguing. I was going to ask you, you mentioned something just a little bit ago about, you know, you've got referrals, you've got influencer help me, but maybe help the listener locate where does Nearbound fall? Because I could probably hear somebody, there's probably a cynic or a skeptic, and that's fine, listening and going, Nearbound, like that's just referrals, dude. Like that's mm-hmm. just co-branding. Like you're making up a term for something that's already existed. You know, why, you know, all the exuberance, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
where
which is a fair question, right? Marketers sure. ruin everything. Marketers try That'll and make something preach. Out of nothing, right?
Yeah, we'll make a t-shirt about that. We'll ruin a t-shirt by saying marketing it. But
marketers ruin everything including this t-shirt.
We're going to do that. We're going to have a limited print for me and Logan to do that.
You heard it here first.
We should do that. We should just have a podcast that's like 7 minutes long or shorter, and we just talk about one thing marketers ruined, and then that's
it. That's a great premise, my friend.
I did have an idea once upon a time to do something called More Better Marketing, and it was going to make fun of all the crazy marketing stuff, like some Gary Vee things and just a lot of hyperbole. But anyways, where would you place Nearbound in amongst all the other versions of I heard from someone, I saw someone I trust, I'm in this audience or what have you? How is it different?
Yeah. So two things. One, I think that a lot of companies are starting to see how this impacts several different things, including referrals, and how they're seeing it is, you know, during the inbound era, we really tried to track everything, right? Because it's all digital. So we can see everything. We know where they came to us, all that sort of stuff. Well, we quickly realized that we can't track everything. And attribution software is broken. Even when we give people an option, they're like, I don't remember, right? And so what a lot of B2B companies have been doing is going towards a model of self-reported attribution. So when you sign up for a product or whatever the case might be, leaving it open, not giving them a set list of options and just saying, how did you hear about us? Because people will be a little bit more open. They will be more candid about the buyer journey. They're like, hey, I heard Logan on Kenny's podcast, and then I saw your ad on LinkedIn, and then I Googled you, right? It's SEO, it's social, and it's, you know, some co-marketing in there as well. And so I think that's one thing that people can start to see, where are the impacts of Nearbound by doing that. To go back to your original question is, are we just renaming referrals? Are we just renaming this? Mm-hmm. And really my exposure to Nearbound started when I started hosting the podcast that's now called Nearbound Marketing. Initially, we were calling it Marketing Together. And I just started exploring every instance where people were marketing with people outside of their marketing team. So we started talking about marketing with customers. We started talking about marketing with strategic partners, marketing with solution partners, or like what someone would call channel or agency partner, right? Executives within the team, employee advocacy, influencer marketing, co-marketing, all of these things. And the common thread was, how can I make my marketing better and get it out to the people that I'm trying to reach by partnering with different people? Some of those within the organization, some of them external, some of them look very different. And so that's where I would say Nearbound Marketing is not just about co-marketing or partner marketing, because partner marketing is just webinars, right? No. Although I could say there was a time, right. You would think in a lot of cases, and so when you look at referrals, when you look at partner marketing, when you look at your executive or founder brand, you look at employee advocacy and then influencer marketing, all of these different things that kind of seem like disparate, different channels and efforts within marketing as a whole, I really think Nearbound gives you is kind of the overlay there across all of these strategies and tactics, where you're tapping into trust, you're bringing in people from outside of your marketing team, different sorts of personas, different sorts of motions, and it kind of brings them together. And that's really where my eyes started to open up. There is something different here. And in all of these motions, there's a different way that you can do it if you tweak your thinking a little bit and understand the buyer behavior that matters, that leads to how we should do each of these things a little bit differently.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And I'm glad you brought up attribution, because that was always a nightmare when I was working with clients, is they wanted it because they understood there's data. It was like, well, what does the data say? Well, it looks like this one channel is just working really well.
Really? It's all SEO, because they're coming through Google. Well, why are they searching for our name? Oh, because they've been seeing us on Facebook or LinkedIn or listening to our podcast forever, that they know what to search for.
And then you try to bring up multi-channel attribution, and then you just watch like some, you know, CMO or VP of marketing's eyes glaze over, and it's like, I don't need this. I don't need this hate in my life. Like, they act like I woke up and chose violence that morning, but the, but it is really difficult, but it seems like Nearbound is giving at least we'll say marketers, or if you're like me and you run a solo practice, you know, when I'm wearing my marketing hat, but it's giving us a way, like you said, to pull those disparate pieces together and account for it. I don't want to say it's just all like serendipity or something like that, because there is a lot of intention that you talk about on your podcast, and also Partner Hacker and a lot of their now Nearbound, but the materials, like they have several ebooks and things like that. It's not just, well, they magically came into my sphere and are in my sales funnel, and you know what? We'll just call it Nearbound. Like we can't really, you know, point at SEO or paid ads or one thing, so we'll just give it a blanket term. I am curious, then, in what you're seeing, it, because obviously, if we're talking about this in the context of an evolution from inbound, and which I think is a good and a right context, you know, eventually inbound wasn't just, they dropped just the marketing, right? And because it wasn't just marketing, it was also sales. Do you see this? Does this Nearbound, dare I say movement, but this move towards Nearbound, is it just for marketing? Is it playing a role in sales yet? Or is that something that happens later when newer methodologies and ways of organizing marketing come about? What's your take on that?
Yeah. So you touched on the rebrand recently of the team that's behind the Nearbound Marketing podcast that I host. And the previous name was Partner Hacker. They renamed to Nearbound.com. And this really started with an event that they did last year in 2022 that they called PLX, Partner Led Everything. And they started talking about how this idea of partnering with people outside of your department and outside of your organization, reaching into the ecosystem that you serve, finding the people who are these nodes of trust that your buyers already know and trust, and working with them. And that being a strategy that helps every function. It helps sales, it helps marketing, it helps customer success, it even helps product. If you're engaging in the market that you serve, you can build better products, right? And so, but what they realized was, as much as that really caught people's attention and they said, this makes a ton of sense, by still leading with the word partner, it was like, oh, we're still talking about the partnerships department. It's kind of like us talking about partner marketing is just like, oh, it's just webinars, right?
If you have a bar, you know, if you had the value added resellers, then you can execute this methodology. If you don't, then it's not for you.
So yeah, exactly.
It left a lot of people out.
Yeah. And so really, actually the folks at, Reveal and Nearbound.com have been talking more, honestly about the sales side, right? Because we're at a point now where, you know, a lot of B2B sales teams are looking at how can I find the folks that my buyers already trust and not just kind of, like you said, just wait to see kind of what the attribution says and just call it Nearbound, but proactively building relationships with sales reps in other organizations, working through their partner teams and aligning the partner team and the sales team to run campaigns together, those sorts of things. So Nearbound really does apply to the entire go-to-market motion. And like we said, I think it's more of an overlay, and it's a compilation of different tactics and motions that you can use across your entire go-to-market function that start with, how do I leverage the trust that already exists in other relationships? And that can play out in sales, that can play out in marketing, that can play out in customer success and account management expansion sort of opportunities and those sorts of things. So definitely not relegated to marketing. My take and why I talk a ton about Nearbound marketing was I've been on this journey really where I was eventually going to land in a marketing department. I had a brief stop in partnerships and I was like, okay, I get this and I want to take this into the marketing team. And so I actually just shared recently on our on the podcast that my transition from head of partnerships to this evangelism role, where mm-hmm. I'm really focused on identifying those potential evangelists for our company, activating them and going to market together. Like this shift in the market, this shift mm-hmm. from partnerships as a department to Nearbound as a strategy, you can see even in the evolution of my role at teamwork.com.
Yeah. Wow. So I love that it can encompass a lot more. You know, in part, I guess one of my references was that it came out of Inbound. I forgot whose post it was, but mentioned that it's becoming far more common for even HubSpot's direct sales team to close more deals when they bring a partner, a solutions partner into the sales and the purchase process. Is the deals were larger, they closed faster, the retention, I believe, has been better with those sort of deals. And that's sort of that collaborative, hey, we have somebody here who, you know, isn't solutions partner, but they're not on the HubSpot payroll. Therefore, there may be some of that objective third party trust that people are looking for. So I think from the methodology standpoint, I think you've covered it well. You've given us a place to sort of orient it. It's not just a repackage or a rebrand of, you know, older, you know, time tested items. It's an addition to and an evolution of, in part because of the sophistication of attribution models or even just how the world keeps shrinking, so to speak, because of the internet. But I am curious on if someone's going to listen to this, and like any great, if they're a CEO or C-suite or something like that, if they're listening to this, much like coming back from a great conference, they're going to have a great idea and they want to slap it on whatever they're doing, right? That's the first thing you want to do, which is not a bad instinct to just take action on something you've used some discernment to say, yeah, I think that's a good thing for us. It probably answers some questions if they're experiencing some of the pain of like, why isn't our marketing generating leads like it used to? Why do we have to sell so hard? Kind of like your guy that you didn't really have to oversell at Inbound. How important is it that people dial in that ICP? And that doesn't stand for insane clown posse. That means ideal client profile, although that is what I think every time I hear it. I'm just clearing that up for the listener. But when I think about all these companies, okay, they're going to say, yes, we need to go to market with this Nearbound approach. We need to find collaborators, find the people who market to our ideal client profile and are serving them so we can work together on this. Well, one of the first things that I think people still to this day, Inbound's been out a long time, different, you know, digital marketer, HubSpot, all sorts of people have talked about, what's your avatar? What's your persona? What is your ICP? And people seem to really, really struggle with it. It seems like Nearbound would be sort of this advanced level thing that you could only execute if you were very, very clear about that. Is that the case, or have I overcomplicated it?
I think just like anything in marketing, it is going to be infinitely better if you actually know who the heck you're talking to. If you haven't defined your ICP, nothing in marketing is going to work as well as it should. That is true of Nearbound. That is true of just how you design your website and the copy sure. that you put there, right? If you don't know who you're speaking to, how are you going to write to them? If you mm-hmm. don't know who you're trying to surround, how are you going to pick the right people to surround them? So this has been a learning process as we've tried to define really what is the motion for mm-hmm. Nearbound marketing, as we've talked about here. And you asked a really good question. Nearbound does apply to the broader go-to-market motions, not just marketing. But at least in my mind, there are kind of five phases to Nearbound marketing. And you nailed phase number one without me even teeing you up for it. Define your ICP. Not insane clown posse for those ICP fans out there, but for us marketers, your ideal client profile. Number two is establish and document your POV and your strategic narrative. And I've actually been talking to Nick Bennett, who now founded an agency consultancy called Harness and Hone, where he's focusing on helping agencies define the problem that they solve and own their niche. He worked for a large HubSpot solutions partner, Impact, that merged with Marcus Sheridan's company, SalesLine, right? And so I'm actually kind of evolving my thinking on phase two. You've got to establish your POV, but you need to do that based on the problem that you solve. Phase three is about assembling your nearbound marketing team. I think if you're going to bring in people from outside of your marketing team to do marketing better, or even if you're an individual and you're going to engage with people outside of your company to do marketing together, then there's certain things you need to look for in certain types. Phase four is then activating your evangelists, and phase five is iterating and scaling. And, you know, like we talked about here, it's tough to have a point of view. It's tough to identify who your evangelists are that you want to activate if you haven't defined your ICP. So that's really, you know, the foundation of it. So that's a problem if you're trying to do nearbound marketing. That's a problem if you're just trying to market your business with no strategy whatsoever.
Right. So, but it would seem to me that if you are going the route of nearbound, that the definition, getting the definition right, that process is going to be a little less forgiving than if you're just trying to go it alone. Like, you could leave some parts of your ICP fuzzy. And lots of people often do when they're just marketing by themselves. You involve a third party, right? Somebody else to bring in the mix. Well, you've got to be really certain that you reach the same group that they do. And because you got to be able to somewhat compare notes and say, okay, I see you marketing to these people. Is that really like who you want? I mean, for instance, it's helped me because I was very broad. I even to specialize in just founder-led organizations, when I would tell people that, it was helpful because it at least classified some type of structure or agency life cycle or something like that. But when I started saying agencies and nonprofits, well, then I started getting into some different conversations just by switching that part up. And it opened up some doors.
Yeah. I will say one of the things that I thought that Isaac Morehouse, the CMO at Reveal, he's one of the co-founders of Nearbound.com. He introduced me to this idea that he just slapped me the other day. He's like, oh, hey, dude, I thought I made up this term. I didn't. Here's who I gave the credit to. And I forget who it was. He shared it on LinkedIn. But I really like this. And so did he. And, you know, suffice it to say, it didn't start with us. But this idea of permissionless co-marketing. So one of the things that you can do, if you're not super clear on your ICP, you're not super clear on who are the nearbound evangelists, as I call them, that you want to activate and bring into your nearbound motion, you probably have an idea. You have some hunches on your ICP. Go to some of those folks that you think you have some overlap with. Start creating some content together that's quick. You can iterate on. You can push out there. You can get some feedback from the market. And you can kind of build in public, as they say, and learn out loud. And you may actually be able to go back to phase one and better define and refine your ICP by doing some of this co-marketing in public with some of the folks where you're like, I think you're talking to the same people. We're kind of saying this. What's really resonating? They might say something and your audience is like, oh, that really resonated. And you're like, hold on, those five people that gave us that feedback, they're all this persona, or they're all in this type of organization.
Here's their common thread.
It can actually work together, even if it's not completely linear. So you bring up a really good question there, Kenny.
Well, that's what I'm here for. That's why they pay me the medium bucks. The medium bucks. Yeah. For the tens of listeners. But that, I'm glad you said that, because with the phases, which I think is great to understand the progression, but it sounds like you're, I would say, giving permission to people, but really telling them, hey, if you don't have it exactly nailed down, that's okay. Sort of start with what you got, start with your idea, and then go out to the market and test it, get that, just shorten the feedback loop. And then you can always come back and refine phase one with the ICP. You can refine phase two. I would say for me, I've been doing a lot of refining of phase one. And I was talking to our mutual friend, Pete Caputa at Databox about the phase two part of just having a point of view. He's talked a bit about how he's refined that over the last 12 months and how much good it's done for him. And of course, he's doing some collaborative growth stuff and Nearbound, and he's a fan of it. But that's the part that I feel like I'm trying to figure out and sort of test the waters in a few places, because I know that the second you have a point of view, it's going to attract the right people and repel the wrong ones. It needs to be a bit divisive, not in a like a mean-spirited way, but it needs to take a stand. So if somebody listening is saying, yeah, I'm all in, I think you've already given quite a few answers to this, my typical question, but what is the very first step? Somebody in 24 hours, whether they're, you know, professional marketer, their agency, their solopreneur, whoever they may be, if they wanted to take their first steps and feel some of the motion of going towards Nearbound, what would you tell that person?
Yeah. So this is something that I actually shared on the podcast here recently. And then I was doing an interview actually earlier today for the other podcast that I host called Agency Life. And I was talking to Sam Dunning, who's with Web Choice. He's a co-owner at an SEO and web development agency based in the UK. And he described it one way. I had described it unbeknownst to him in a similar way on another podcast, very similarly. And here's what we did. Short form video is very hot right now. As we mentioned earlier, it's easier to create than ever before. Now more than ever. See what I did there?
Died a little on the inside.
And at the same time, the idea of Nearbound is all about trust, right? And when people see faces, they see that it's not AI generated, then there is some more trust that happens there. And a podcast like this one is a great way to create short form video clips individually or with a guest, that sort of stuff. But especially for a small business owner or an agency that doesn't have a ton of time to invest in their own marketing, it can be a lot to dedicate to. We're going to do a podcast every week. We're going to promote it, all these sorts of things. I mean, you know, right?
Yep.
But you can still use that motion to move quickly. And so Sam actually talked about do a mini series for LinkedIn and just say, hey, we're going to do a series of videos, short form, under a minute over the next couple of weeks. And we're just going to answer some of these questions that are applicable to our audience. I mean, just go refresh yourself on They Ask You Answer from Marcus Sheridan, and you'll come up with 5-10 questions really easily, right? And so go to some of those people who you think could be your Nearbound partners. And so I might approach you, Kenny, and say, hey, we're both trying to reach agency owners. I've come up with 10 questions about, you know, the struggles of running an agency. I know you have some expertise in the operations and the systems. I'm going to ask you then these 10 questions. We're going to hop on riverside.fm, same platform we're using to record this podcast, but you can record just a conversation where you don't care about the long form. It doesn't matter. It's not going to be on Apple and Spotify and everywhere. You're just going to ask these 10 questions. And because you know you have a set number of questions, you know where the clips are going to be. You pull out those clips and you have a, you know, recurring series over the next 2 weeks where you and I, we have 10 videos. We can each post them. So we've got 20 opportunities for posts, and we look at what the feedback is. What did people respond to? What did they question? What things did they ask that could help us refine our ICP or refine our positioning? Those sorts of things. That's something you can do very lightweight with a tool like riverside.fm plus either Descript or even an AI tool like Opus Clip or Momento and put out a bunch of content really quickly without dedicating to a whole campaign, or we're starting a podcast and we're going to do 52 episodes this year.
Yeah.
And you can just approach people of, hey, Kenny, show up. I'll ask you some questions. We'll create some videos, make you look good. All I'm asking is that you commit to this posting plan. We'll do the same. And then we'll see what it looks like after a couple of weeks.
Wow. That does that. Even though, as you mentioned towards the beginning of our conversation, the barrier to entry has never been lower. But I do think people feel the pressure to produce things at a certain quality and a certain velocity. And so having a plan like that really, I think, takes the sting out of, oh, it's this big production thing and I got to get all this. It's like, no, it's like one or two subscriptions and just a little bit of thinking time. And then the courage to reach out to somebody and say, hey, do you want to do this with me? And so far what I have found is most people are willing to say yes and have that conversation. Well, Logan, this has been tremendously helpful, and I'm pretty sure that we could keep going for quite a while, nerd out, talk about Insane Clown Posse. I feel like that's going to become the title somehow. But if people want to know more about you, the work you're doing, whether it's with teamwork.com or the Nearbound podcast or anything else, where would you send them?
Yeah. So three ways: connect with me on LinkedIn. Pretty easy to find there. Logan Lyles, last name is L-Y-L-E-S. Then the two podcasts that we mentioned, sorry for all the shameless plugs, but it really did fit into this conversation. So I host a weekly podcast called Nearbound Marketing on Thursdays, where we're talking about this concept that we were really exploring here with your great questions, Kenny. And then those drop on Friday. And then every Thursday, I am also the host of a podcast from teamwork.com called Agency Life. So if you are an agency owner, founder, you're helping lead an agency, we're talking some marketing there that overlaps, but also operations, how to sell as an agency owner, managing capacity, dealing with frustrating clients, how to fire those clients at times, all that sort of stuff. So LinkedIn, Agency Life, and Nearbound Marketing, wherever you get your podcast, you can find me on those two each and every week.
Awesome. We'll be sure to link all of that up in the notes. One final question. It's a bonus one just for you.
Right.
Because you hit me with this. Dad jokes. Do you have a dad joke for us to close on?
Absolutely. And, it's interesting. Every time you and I swap dad jokes, I remember the first time I met Pete Caputa one-on-one, because he said, hey, have you heard of this YouTube channel, which we both now know that we're fans of, called Doc Talk, where these guys exchange dad jokes. And the guy's name is Logan Lyle, L-I-S-L-E. And Pete was like, you're not him, right? I was like, no, different spelling, different pronunciation. Anyway, all that being said, two goldfish were sitting in a tank, and one looks to the other and says, do you even know how to drive this thing? Thanks for hitting me with a clap. I'm sure our audience rolled their eyes and we cannot hear that. So we'll end right there.
I am unbothered by that. Well, thank you so much. And to those of you listening, I hope this has been helpful. Keep your eyes and ears open for some social media posts. Let us know what you think or any questions you may have for Logan to dig into this. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead. We'll see you next time.